How many have been blessed in the worship today? Amen. Amen. I'm going to visit with you just a little bit before I jump into the message, but I know we record the message and people listen to it online and by different means. Go ahead and start that now because I want to acknowledge some folks that are here before I jump into the message. Shatoria Smith, back from Yokosuka, Japan. Would you stand? Brother Craig Blackman just moved here from the great state of Arkansas. Brother Craig, baptized in San Diego by Pastor Taylor. Amen. Glad you're here, Brother Craig. Rusty Stevens, where are you at? His ship is in port. He's heading out to Jacksonville and then ports beyond soon, but glad you're here, Brother Rusty. Amen. Amen. Anyone else here that I should acknowledge that I didn't pick up on? Brother Jim Audison is out of town. His mother is very ill. And she's been sick for some time, and the doctors have called the family in, and I spoke with Brother Jim yesterday, and for those of you who know Jim, and maybe you've talked with him, and you know about his mother and her condition, there have been many times when she didn't know who Jim was, and when Jim arrived there at the hospital in Viroqua, Wisconsin, she knew who he was, and it was a very quiet visit. Her strength is very weak. She is very weak. I should say her strength is very minimal. But she knew who Jim was, and she was so glad he was there, and he was thankful for that. And so please keep Jim and his mother in your prayers this week. I'm going to share a message in a minute. I know you're standing by there to do something, Heather, but we're going to take a couple minutes before we get to that. This is National Volunteer Appreciation Week. It's a big deal because not only our ministry, but our country runs on volunteers. And show of hands, not just here at Christian Fellowship, but how many of you volunteer somewhere in the world? Somewhere in your life you volunteer, somewhere you do something because you want to, because you're able to, and you're not paid for it. Isn't that awesome? Look around. There's lots and lots of hands up. And I think that's awesome. And let's give everybody a hand. And I received an email, it's about 2 weeks old now, but it's timely, and it says, last Wednesday you asked the congregation to show their appreciation for the following: military brothers and sisters, musicians, singers, media arts, the young people, pastor who preached the most recent message, Pastor Taylor. And that's true. I did. But then they go on to say, how about this week asking the congregation to show their appreciation for the following? And it's a longer list, which just really highlights the point that we all need each other and we all volunteer. And there's some positions in ministry that are paid positions, but the ministry really thrives and runs on volunteer service. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to do my best to read through the list. And those of you who are good at this piece about catching what I miss, I'm going to give you a chance to say that before we move on. And I mean that in a positive way. It's easy to make a mistake and to miss something unintentionally. And when I did the State of the Church address, I wrote notes and I spoke from notes. And so when I received a call from Rose Mosley in San Diego, California, it's her husband, Brother Chuck, who is the fellowship leader there in San Diego. And Brother Chuck is in Afghanistan serving in the military there on one-year IA. And so Chuck is in Afghanistan and Rose is in San Diego, and she said, Pastor Payne, imagine my disappointment. She was really hurt deeply, and I understand. She said, imagine my disappointment when we listened to the State of the Church address here in San Diego, and San Diego wasn't mentioned. And I said, Rose, there's got to be some kind of technical error. I know I mentioned San Diego. And she said, absolutely not. You didn't mention San Diego. I mean, we're all here in San Diego. We would know if you mentioned San Diego. And I said, I believe that, Rose. I really do. I get that. But the reality, I just can't believe I didn't. And so I pulled out my notes for the State of the Church address, and I looked at them, and of course, San Diego's right there. So then I go online and to our website, and I pull up State of the Church address, and Rod Williams came in my office. I said, Rod, come listen to this. Rose says I missed... and I sneezed during the State of the Church address. I said, I must have sneezed when I was mentioning San Diego, and they edited it out. Because I did sneeze, and they told me they edited this sneeze out. And I thought, I sneezed when I said San Diego. And they edited San Diego out with my sneeze. And I imagine me sneezing a whole state out, I mean, a whole city out, you know, and I thought, this is terrible. There's a lot of people that live there. You know, this is like worse than an earthquake. And I thought, well, that must be what happened. But it turns out that I did sneeze, and they did edit it out. But the reality is that I just actually had San Diego in my notes, and I didn't say it. Imagine they're hurt. And I suspect that everybody in this room at one time in their life or another has felt that way. You did the work. You're in the game. You're on the team. You're paying the price. You're doing your part. And when it comes time for just a morsel of acknowledgement that you're doing it, you get overlooked. You ever been there? My twin brother, who retired from the Navy, and when he retired, hey, Adam, would you help my brother Jimmy get ready? Because I'm going to ask him to sing his testimony in just a couple of minutes. And I know we talked about that before service, that was a possibility. And we're going to ask Brother Jimmy to do that. So would you work together and get ready? And even if that means being up here while I'm talking, that's fine too. And so when I was talking with Paul, and he's been retired now for like 6 years out of the Navy. And he mentioned everyone in the family in his retirement speech except for me and my family. And I know exactly how he did it. Because he was looking at my family that was seated there in the audience at the retirement ceremony. Those of you in the military, if you've been to retirement ceremonies, you know that, you know, your family's a big part of that. And he was looking at the family. And my mother and father had both passed on before that ceremony, but all the siblings were there. We come from a big family. And he named everybody, went down the line, and he didn't name me. And my sister's pointing, you know, because I was on the platform because he asked me to say the benediction. They're going to set something up here, so don't worry about it. I'm going to just stay with me. And he still today, when I spoke with him just in the last handful of days, he said, Pete, I still feel so bad about the time that I forgot to mention you and Debbie and Adam and Holly and Heather, because I looked out and you weren't in the front row because you were seated behind me, and somehow he said, and you're my twin brother. You're the one I couldn't forget, you know, because we met 9 months earlier than we were, never mind. And he felt bad about that. And I feel bad when I miss somebody. And we're talking about National Volunteer Month. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you fit in this group, and we're not going to rush through it too fast, I want you to stand. And some of you will stand more than once during this. And please, if you fit in this group, don't be so shy that you don't stand. And those of us who are not standing, in fact, Pastor Taylor, would you bring that chair up? I'm getting your chair. I thought I was getting Pastor Taylor's chair. I'm going to sit here because I really want this to be done right. And if you're part of this group, if you're part of the group that I mentioned, would you stand and the rest of us could show our appreciation with the clapping of our hands? Military brothers and sisters. Amen. You may be seated. Don't get weary in your clapping because we got a long list here. Musicians and singers. I'm going to try to do this from, here we go. Media arts. Some of you have to stand to do your job. Wave at us, media arts. How many media arts people are on the floor down here? Any that we didn't? Robin's up there. Okay. The young people, I think they've already gone to their class from here. I should have done this sooner. See, there you go. You can't, you're always going to. The teens, would you please stand? No, stay standing for a moment. Amen. I'm thankful for the teenagers that are in this church and in this ministry. Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you, Debbie, for catching that. Pastor who preached. No, we won't do that. Non-military brothers and sisters. Non-military. If you've never been in the military, amen. If you're a sister or a brother and you've never been in the military, we love you. You're part of this family. You are valued, you are precious, and we love you. Ushers, wave, because most of you are standing already. Ushers, wave at us so we can clap and let you know. Brother Eric, wave at us. You're head that team. Brother Pat Tambico, did you wave? I love my brothers and sisters. Phone receptionists. Everybody that's phone receptionist. Amen. You know, and with emails and texts and cell phones, the phone receptionists actually aren't nearly as busy as they used to be. And sometimes that can actually even be a lonely job, am I right? Because there's so many things that you can communicate directly with. I probably speak with more people in the congregation directly than through the church line. But thank you, phone receptionists, for being there and being vigilant and being on the watch there. Amen. Kitchen team, those of you who are on the kitchen team. And I know that's not a seven-day-a-week thing, but if you've served in the kitchen, Brother Bill Griffith, others. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Taryn. Thank you, Pastor Taylor. Amen. For those of you who think this is taking too much time, think how much time these people give. Amen? And I lost my place, but I'm about to find it. I guess I got hungry when I said kitchen team. Cleanup team. Those of you who come on Saturday morning and you get this building ready for the week ahead. If you've ever come on a Saturday morning, would you stand and... Amen. Building maintenance. Building maintenance. Amen. Hope for Haiti. Hope for Haiti. I think we got a couple that aren't standing. Hope for Haiti. Carlton, wave. You're standing back there. You're part of that. Alberic, John Mack, you didn't stand. Aren't you part of that team? Hope for Haiti? Yeah. Amen. Grounds maintenance. Grounds maintenance. Jeff, John, amen. Edna, Josh, amen. This is worthy of our time. This is worship. You know what? We need each other. We're a family. Amen? Cleanup team, building maintenance, ground maintenance, phone receptionist, kitchen team. Seniors, those of you who are seniors, Debbie got her first senior discount the other day, but I don't know if you qualify quite yet. Seniors, would you please stand? Seniors, either stand or raise your hand. Seniors, we love you. We love you. We love you. Sheila, are you a young senior? Is that why? Are you too young?
No.
Okay. Yeah. I love you. Amen. Amen. Finance team, those who work in the money ministry. Amen. Stay standing for a minute. That's a team that works nonstop, endless hours, and that's a behind-the-scenes job you never see. Amen. But without it, our ministry wouldn't be as solid as it is. Amen. Now, this is going to be hard because most of them are doing their job right now, but we want to recognize the Kids Kingdom and the youth teachers. Amen. And if you're in the room, please stand, but I know some of you are out of the room. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Web development team. Web development. That's a big piece of our ministry because a lot of the people we minister to are long distance. Jonathan's out of town. I know he's part of that. Who stood for that? I know we got some. Paul, you're on that. Who else? Who did I miss? Rich Snow, I don't know that I'm going to get your name on this list. Rich has been working on special projects with me, and he's working on some very important special projects now. Rich, would you stand? Amen. Amen. IT. IT. How do you spell that? IT. Bob. Larry. Jeff. Amen. Wow team. I just learned that wow spelled backwards is wow, and wow spelled upside down is mom. Resource Center. Seppi, not here. Jessica's not here. Resource Center. Education team, ed team. If you work on advancing education or any part of the education team, education team. Amen. Amen. Okay, those of you who are keeping track of who I forgot, I've got two more on my list. And then community group leaders, hosts, and curriculum team. Community group leaders, hosts, and curriculum team. I'm not sitting down because I'm lazy, folks. I want the recognition to go where it belongs right now. All pastors. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. What did I forget? Printer? Prayer team. Thank you. Prayer team, please stand. Prayer team, please stand. We have people that come in and pray before service, anointing this sanctuary and other parts of the building with oil. Amen. Where's Sister Sonia? I don't see her. Our international board. Thank you, Pastor. If you've been a past or a current member of our international board, please stand. What were you saying? Amen. The bread distribution. We give bread away every week, and those of you who go get it and line it up and work on it, and is Tim Ragsdale in the room? Is he just too modest to stand, or is he out of the room right now? He might be teaching or something. Thank you. Jim Otteson's a big piece of that. Rick. Hospital visitation. Thank you. Hospital visitation. Hospital visitation. Who else did I miss? Prison ministry. Jonathan Santiago is out of town. He does prison ministry. Holly, would you stand for your husband, Jonathan? Amen. Does anyone else do that with him? Okay. What else did I forget? Active duty military? Oh, prior military. Prior military, would you please stand? Prior military. Veterans. Veterans. I have to stand for that. I'm proud I serve. Amen. Amen. Is that what you were saying? Okay. Praise and worship team. I think we sort of did that with singers and musicians. Did that leave anyone out? Okay. What kind of teachers? Bible study teachers. Bible study teachers. Absolutely. Did I get what you were saying, Jay? The bread, yeah. Did we do it? Community group leaders. We did that, community group leaders, thank you. But I'm glad you're saying them because that's the point. Evangelism. If you do evangelism, you go out and you, I think we, that should be everybody in the room, really. But really, right? Let your light so shine before men, they see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Amen. But that's the thing is that we all need each other. And we're a volunteer army. And Pastor Thomas preached a message years ago. And if it may have been, Pastor Thomas, it may not have been titled Trust Positive Intentions, but that was the heart of the message. And if you feel left out, please say so. But also, don't look for negative. Trust positive intentions. Does that make sense? Because we need each other. We're in this thing together. And I'm going to ask Brother Jimmy to come up. Does someone need to hold a microphone? Okay, good. And we didn't have time. He was here. Brother Jimmy was here last week. They're going to hold a microphone so that we can get his keyboard. And he shared, and I wasn't here last week because Debbie and I were traveling. And I'm glad to be back today. And Brother James, Jimmy came. Do you prefer Jimmy or James? Brother James was here last week. And then I just met him this morning just before service. And he sang his testimony for me. And I think it's important for us all to hear. And yes, I do have a message. And for those of you who are worried I'll go over time, I think I can preach this message in about 5 minutes if you'll work with me on it. But I really think the message is being preached today in this idea that we need each other. We're not islands unto ourselves. Amen? We all can give something. We all can do something. We all can be something. Amen? And let me just say this in case the devil is working on anybody. And yes, he comes to church. He's more faithful than a lot of people. And making you feel like, oh, I know why the pastor did that, so those of us who didn't stand would feel bad. No, I didn't. And if you didn't stand, I do encourage you to find something to do, because you'll be glad you did. Amen? And there's plenty to do. There's plenty to do. And don't think, oh, well, gee, all the spots are taken. I just saw all those people stand. Almost every single department in our ministry has some openings. Amen? We don't have an opening at the moment for senior pastor. There's a few of them that are full. there's a few positions that are full, but almost every department in our ministry has some openings, just in case you were wanting to apply. So I know it hasn't been a traditional message yet, but will you just say, thank you, Lord? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's hear Brother James's testimony and song.
Praise the Lord, saints. My name is James, and I'm a grateful recovering addict. I thank God for being in your midst. I'm very humbled, and I'm very nervous. That's a great man that you have for your pastor. I felt the spirit of the Holy One when I was in his presence, so I know he was sent here to lead you. The clothes that I wear, did not buy them. The shoes that I have on my feet, did not buy them. God just gave them to me. When I came to the VA for treatment, I was broken. I was in bondage because I had to have dope. I had to get high every day. I used every waking moment and all my energy so that I could stay high. Today, I'm on a new drug. It is called Jesus. Amen. Thank the Lord. I cannot sing. So if you want to put some cotton in your ears, okay. I cannot play this organ, but God gave me a song. And this is my testimony. Hey, with me. Father, I raise my hand to you. I'm gonna sing my song And let the whole world know, yeah. You saved my soul. Turn around and make me whole. I'm gonna praise your name. Oh Lord. To my dying day, I love. And let my God, we praise you. We're coming back to you. Just let me pray you, Lord. And Lord, my God, we praise you. Coming back to you, Lord, let me pray you, yeah. Oh, my dying day, oh Lord. You delivered me, the taste of drugs has gone away. You gave me hope. I just wanted to give up, Lord. Then you saved my soul. Turn around and made me whole. I'm gonna praise your name, oh. To my dying days, oh Lord. To praise you, oh, oh my Lord, I love you, Jesus. I've got to praise you. I'm gonna praise your name. To my dying day. To praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, James. Happy birthday, dear James. Happy birthday to you. Okay. Well, if I'm going to preach a message, I guess I better get started. I picked something to start the message with, and it's if you see it the way I saw it, you'll find that it has a lot of humor in it, but a lot of truth in it, and I think it gets to the point of some things that are that need to have a little light shined on them in a very a fun way. And I know that all of us have different ways of viewing things, but this works for me. And so if it doesn't work for you, then I'll ask you just to wait for the message, because I promise that'll work for you. And if it doesn't, I'll give you your money back. How's that? So we're going to start this with a skit from a couple of guys called the Skit Guys. And I hope it works for you the way it did me. Play it, would you please?
I give to God by enjoying what he has given me. Okay? I mean, do you really think he expects something back? Now, I know there's a lot of people at church that would not understand this line of reasoning. That's why, just to make things simple and not to cause any controversy, I like to carry what I call the little empty envelope, all right? You see, when the plate gets passed, I bloop, put it in there like that. The deacon's counting the money. They only know me as the crazy empty envelope guy, but the people sitting around me, clueless. I win, they win, God wins. No one gets hurt because no one knows.
God knows.
Huh?
I only agreed to make this video if they promise not to tell you who I am. I mean, it's really none of your business. And it's also none of your business how much I give. I'm not going to brag about it, okay? I mean, yeah, it's cool. I just got married and I have a kid, okay? And sure, you know, we get around. We're doing okay. But look, who I am and what I give is, it's between God and I, okay? I mean, the sacrifices I make are between me and God, and my reward is in heaven. So look, don't try to figure out who I am or what I give, because honestly,
it's none of your business. I tithe. Okay, that's a lie. I don't tithe. I want to tithe. That's a lie, too. I don't even think about it. But seriously, you think God's up there, like, with a big old checklist going, hey, you tithe, you don't tithe? I don't buy that at all. Okay, I kind of buy that. Because what do you say? Give to God what is God's and give to Caesar what is Caesar's? I don't even know any Caesars. That's a lie. I know four Caesars, even the little one.
Let me ask you a question, huh? How's your mutual fund? Hey, for that matter, how's all your funds? Has the fund left your funds, huh? Has your do-re-mi taken a W-A-L-K, huh? What if I told you that I knew about an investment you could make that the return would be mind-boggling? And it's promised. It's guaranteed. I know what you're saying. There's no guarantees. This one's guaranteed, okay? Malachi 3:10. So it says in the Old Testament. It says, test me, give to God, and he will give you back. It goes like this. I give this, he gives this. I give this, he gives this. I give this. Right up there. He keeps giving. I can't outgive God. How crazy is that? Do I love him? Sure, whatever. I'm just saying, if you give, he gives back. Crazy, isn't it? It works, though. How do you think I afforded that house in Tahiti? Oh, what time is it? It's tithing time.
I tithe. But just not like in the form of a 10% check, per se. Let me tell you what I mean. When I go to church on a Sunday morning, they're selling donuts, I buy some. Boom, that's a tithe. When my whole Sunday school class wants donuts, and I, out of the goodness of my heart, buy a whole bunch for the Sunday school class, boom, that's another tithe. But it's not about me spending money. It's about the smile on people's faces. That, my friends, is tithe enough for me. Case in point, the church was having date nights where we could take our spouse out for an evening, and they were charging $25 for childcare. Boom, shakalaka, tithe. I'll tell you what the biggest tithe was. When I spent over $100 on our meal, and my wife was grinning ear to ear, that, my friend's a tithe.
I would like to give. I would, okay? But everything right now is just crazy. I mean, just crazy, you know? I mean, not normal crazy, really crazy, you know? And if after I paid my bills and took care of the things that I need and want, then I would consider giving something, but not now's crazy. We're going to give later. We've already talked about it. I mean, down the road, we'll be crazy givers, but right now, it's just crazy.
Yeah, I have money, that's a fact. But you know what? It's a heart thing between me and the Lord and the pastor, because he needs to know what I'm giving now that we have this little building campaign going on, if you know what I'm saying. And pastor, I'd give a little bit more. I'd give a little something if you'd have that music minister sing a couple more hymns now and then, huh? Hey, watch this. Watch this. Is that a Benjamin? I think it is. Benji likes hymns. Come on. You want it? Come on, pastor. Do what I say, huh?
Oh, in my life, Lord, be glorified in me. I put money in the plate. Wait, wait, wait. Look what I have here. I hope it doesn't interfere. But that everyone can hear how I give with cheer, that everyone could be like me.
Jazz hands.
So this is week four of our four-week series on stewardship. We take some time each year. This year, 4 weeks. The ABCs of stewardship. Week one was attitude. Week two, blessings. Week three, consecration. And today, donation. And so I'm going to talk to you today about your giving, but maybe in a way that you don't expect quite yet. Because I want to talk about three areas, and the first is your time. The second will be your talent, and the third will be your treasure. And if anyone's wondering, is he going to ask me to give today? That's exactly what I'm asking you to do today. Absolutely, positively, make no mistake about it. I'm asking you to give today. And I'm asking you to give of your life every day. And if you're struggling with that, then I pray what will happen either in this message or this will be a catalyst to get you to the place where it'll happen is you will understand the gift that you have in giving. And if you're struggling with giving, please know this. I'm not trying to pry anything away from you. And I don't believe God is trying to pry anything away from you. When we read of Christ talking to the rich young ruler, and he said, go and sell what you have, he wasn't trying to pry anything away. He was trying to create the right relationship between this man and his Savior. And I really believe that's what this is about. I really believe that when we get free in our giving, we're going to have a better relationship than we could have otherwise. Let's talk about time. 168 hours in a week, right? If you divide it by three and you take three chunks, you take, let's say, and I know not all of you are able to do this, but you get 8 hours of sleep a day, that's 56 hours. 56 hours in a week. If you work 40 hours a week, let's put some commute time in there, it's another 56 hours. So if you, the remaining third of that time is perhaps some discretionary time, 56 hours, what would a tithe be on 56 hours? 5.6 hours. 10% of that is 5.6 hours. Let me challenge you with this. Are you giving 5.6 hours of your week to the work of the Lord? And I don't think that counts. I don't think personal study counts, although I would encourage you to do personal study daily. I'm talking about saying, Lord, what would you have me to do to serve others? What would you have me to do? Some of you give much more than that. Some of you give more than 5.6 hours a day. Lord, what would you have me to do to serve others? And if you're not doing anything outside of attending worship and attending community groups and personal study and personal prayer time, then I'm asking you to donate. I'm asking you to really get close to God and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And you say, well, why the number 5.6? Because I think it's a great starting point. I don't think it's the end point. I think it's a great starting point. And for those who have busy lives, the idea of 5.6 hours, are you kidding me? Some of you have such busy lives, you don't even own televisions. You don't know what television is. And some of you watch more than 5.6 hours of television a day. You know, most of us that say we're too busy waste more than 5.6 hours a week. Most of us that think we're too busy to do anything for the Lord, if we really were to be honest, waste more than 5.6 hours a week. Are you stepping on my toes, Pastor? I hope so. But I hope that you hear it in love. And yes, what I'm saying is step up. I'm challenging every one of us, myself included, to prayerfully examine how we can do better. Prayerfully examine how you can do better. And not all of it's going to be in the church. When I'm talking about donating your time, some of it will be in church. Some of it will be Saturday morning cleanup. Some of it will be with bread distribution. Some of it will be in other ways. The teams that we just talked about, all the different volunteers, some of it will be with groups that we mentioned and acknowledged here earlier in this message. But some of it will happen in your neighborhood, in your community. Maybe it's an elderly person that lives near you and you could give some time. But make sure that you ask God, what do you want me to do? Amen? Bob Hertzler came to me years ago. He said, Pastor Payne, I want to start a fishing club. I said, tell me what that would look like, Bob. And he told me, and I said, Bob, if you want to go fishing, there's nothing wrong with going fishing. Just don't pretend it's ministry. Just go fishing. He said, Pastor, I don't think you're hearing what I'm saying. I really believe there could be a ministry in this. Bob Hertzler has had as many as 100 young people on fishing trips at a time, most of them needing to hear the gospel message. Is that awesome? Bob started by going to the bait shop, going down to the fishing piers, going and he met everybody that was fishing that he could. And Bob treats that as ministry. Does he like fishing? Sure he does. Sure he does. And I think that's why that made sense to him. Because he could see how those two things went together. Unlike the guy that told Pastor Thomas he wanted to start a beach ministry because he thought that people in bikinis needed to hear the gospel. And if I remember correctly, Pastor Thomas, I think you said to him, I think you like bikinis more than you like Bible studies. And he acknowledged maybe there was some truth in that counsel. So you got to be honest about it. Amen? You got to be honest about it. But I'm asking you and I'm challenging you in as plain of words as I know how to prayerfully look at your schedule, prayerfully look at your calendar. And if you're not giving some time to the Lord, and 10% is just a reference number, I really think it ought to be more than that. But if you're not honoring God with at least that, amen? If you're not honoring God with at least that, how can you in good conscience say, God, thank you for the beating of my heart. Thank you for the breath in my lungs. Thank you for letting me wake up this morning in my right mind. Thank you for the life you've given me. Thank you for the health. I did something in a message not too long ago, and I'm not going to spend too long to develop this point, but I brought a chair up here like I did earlier today, and I stood up out of the chair without using my hands. There was a time in my life, and I've had some back surgery and different issues at times. There was time when I couldn't get out of a chair without help with my upper body strength. I couldn't get out of a chair without using my arms. Does that make sense? Do you see that chair next to Pastor Thomas? It has arm. The reason that chair is there, it doesn't match any of the other chairs, is because Jim Otteson uses that chair, and he can't get out of a chair unless he's got something to push up on. The idea of sitting down in a chair that didn't have arm rests for me was, I when I went into a restaurant, I'd look for a chair that had armrests, because otherwise it was going to be real ugly getting out of the chair. Sometimes I've had to drop to my knees and crawl to a wall and work up that way. And now I can stand up without using my arms. And you know what? I don't take that lightly. And I thank God for that healing. I thank God for that blessing. And the only reason I bring that up is how can we thank God for the time we have and not honor Him with some of it? How can we thank God for the health we have and not honor Him with some of it? Amen? So I'm asking you sincerely, if you haven't taken that first fruits, if you will, that 10%, and really scheduled it and said, God, what would you have me to do with this? That's a great starting point. And that's my challenge. That's my challenge. And I'm really asking you not just to hear that and think, well, that's a nice suggestion. That's probably good. And I hope most people do that. I'm asking you to hear it personal. Could you say amen? Amen. I'm asking you to, I know this is a quiet message, but it's a deep message if you'll let it be. I'm asking you to hear it personal and say, Lord, what would you have me to do to serve? What would you have me do to serve? What would you have me to do to serve? And I recognize as I look around here, many of you give way more than that. But there's some that haven't taken that step yet, and I'm inviting you to do so. I'm encouraging you to do so. Amen? Some of you used to give that, and you, for some reason, have stopped. And it's time to get back and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Let me give some time to your work. Let me put that first. Amen? Let's talk about talent for a minute. Does your first and best go to God? We all have talents in different areas, don't we? Some of you have talents that I wish I had. Some of you, actually, you know what? When Brother James just played on the keyboard, he said, I can't play. And I think I understood what you meant, Brother James. You mean, but for the grace of God. But for God, I couldn't. And yet, it was beautiful. I don't have that talent. If I tried to do on the keyboard what you did on the keyboard, it wouldn't have been a blessing. But I do have gifts and talents in my life, and so do you. In fact, say, I have gifts and talents in my life. And you do have gifts and talents in your life. And if you're not using them for the glory of God, then this is me standing here pleading with you to give God the first and the best of the talents that he's given you. Some of you are great listeners. Some of you are great comforters. Some of you are great encouragers. Some of you are great teachers. Some of you are great team builders. One of my favorite leadership books is written by a pastor by the name of Bill Hybels. And he talks about how he has asked people to do different things in his life. And he was talking about a man who came to him, and he said, Pastor Bill, I have come to the point in my life where I'm going to retire. And he was in his mid-50s. He said, I have enough wealth, I have enough, you know, set aside, my retirement account is secure, and I'm going to retire. And I still want to be an active part of the ministry, but I just wanted to communicate that with you because I'm trying to learn better how to live by faith and to walk by faith and to communicate. And I just felt like I should share that with you because it's such a big life decision and ask you to pray that I will not miss God's will in this. And they were in a building campaign at the time, and the author of the book, Bill Hybels, said that, what do you consider your great gift as it relates to ministry? And he said, well, it's giving. I'm a cheerful giver. I love to give. And because I've been successful in business, I'm able to give generously. And he said, and there's enough in my retirement plans that I can continue to do that. And the pastor said, is that what you think that you are uniquely qualified to do, what you're best at? And he said, yes. He said, based on that, I'm going to ask you something. Will you, instead of retiring now, work for 5 more years? 5 more years and give it all to the Lord. This was a man that was making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And he said, Pastor, I'll pray on that. I'll give you my answer by Wednesday. And he came back Wednesday and he said, yes, I'll do it. Now, and it's fine to give the Lord a praise on that, and I'm glad you did, and it's good to do that, but here's the point, that was his gift. He wasn't a singer, he wasn't a teacher, but he could give. And you say, well, I thought we were on the talent part, not the treasure part yet. His talent was giving. His talent was giving. And some of you, you give of yourself. And that's your talent. And some of it's financial and some of it's other ways. But I'm asking you if you're giving of your talent. If you've really gone to your knees in your prayer time and you've said, God, how can I use my talent for your glory? How can I use my talent for your glory? How can I be better at using what you've gifted me with for your glory to build your kingdom? And that's the challenge. And I'm asking, will you please accept that challenge? And only if you mean it. I'm not trying to bait you. I'm not trying to coerce you. But only if you mean it. Say, Pastor, I'll accept that challenge. Pastor, I accept that challenge. Most of all, God, I accept that challenge. God's going to speak to some of you as a result of this message. God is going to speak to some of you and show you how you can do more for the body of Christ, how you can do more for the kingdom, how you can do more for this ministry. God is going to speak to some of you and remind you of some of the time you have, some of the talents you have, and you're going to be able, based on your prayer time following this message, to see ways that you can do better at being useful for the glory of God. Amen? And I want to be useful. How about you? And you know, sometimes in my years of ministry, I look back, there have been times when I've been used. You ever been used? I've been used. You ever been taken advantage of? I've been taken advantage of. And maybe that's why some of you have drawn your feet under your chair right now and you're thinking, no, I've done it before and it didn't work out well. It wasn't God's fault. Trust me when I tell you, it wasn't God's fault if it didn't work out. Go back to God and say, God, I've been used before. I got hurt before. I made myself available. I got burned out. I got cheated. I got robbed. But go back to God and say, let's start fresh. Amen? I'm convinced that one of the devil's greatest robberies is getting us to look at past failures instead of future victories. Amen? Some of you have heard this, and perhaps most of you have heard it, but there was a time when I was senior pastor of our church in Waukegan when I asked a question, and I anticipated that perhaps 10%, maybe less than 10% of the people would respond in the affirmative to this question. And I was astonished at the results. Not pleased, astonished. The question was, how many of you have I ever offended to the point where you considered quitting this church, leaving this ministry? People were raising their hands, their feet. They were waving towels. People were skidding to a stop on Route 120 and running in the front door of the church. Count me in. Mice were coming out of the baseboards, raising their all four legs, laying on their backs. Woo! Waving their tail. But even if that's the case, it's still between you and God. Amen? It's still between you and God. Amen? Debbie, I'm going to ask you to answer out loud, real bold, very honest. We've been married 38 years. That wasn't the question. We've been married 38 years. Have I ever offended you to the point where you thought, why did I marry this guy? I think I should find another. Hey, nobody loves me like Debbie loves me. She's seen me at my worst. But somehow you got through it. And that's what we've got to do, saints. And if you've given before and it's hurt and you've been cheated or robbed or bamboozled or somehow, some way, it was taken from you, start fresh. Ask God to bless it. And please get the right attitude about it. Because if you feel like you're giving of your time or your talent or your treasure is being pried out of your hands, it's a miserable place to be. Let's talk about treasure, and I'm going to wrap it up. By the way, in the talent part, if for those of you writing notes, write Matthew 25, 14 through 30. But now let's go to treasure. What does Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 teach us? In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, if you have your Bibles, turn to them. You can read the words on the screen. Let's read it out loud together. We're just going to read it at a slow pace. Let's all say it together. Verse 38, here we go. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you live like you believe it? I think most of you do. And some of you need to hear that today so you can trust it, so that you can take a step of faith. Amen? Let me tell you what I'm sick and tired of. I'm sick and tired of people being robbed by Satan by the same robbery over and over again. You gave once before, it didn't work out the way you'd hoped, and so he continues to remind you of that, and he continues to rob you. My oldest brother had his home broken into. He and his family were away. When they came home, they found the home had been burglarized and many valuables were stolen. He said, the worst thing is that I felt violated. The worst thing is, he said, all the stuff, he said, and some of it irreplaceable. You know, pictures and wedding, I don't know if pictures were taken, but I mean, there's some irreplaceable things in your house. Some of the jewelry had sentimental value and different things. He said, but even the irreplaceable items, he said, that didn't compare to the feeling that my wife and I had of being violated. Someone came into our house without our permission and took stuff that was ours, not theirs. Some of you have given, am I being plain enough? Some of you have given in the past and you felt that way. And I am very sensitive to the power of that pain. But can you hear me pleading with you today to get beyond that and say, okay, God, this is between you and me. Amen? Okay, God, this is between you and me. It's not between me and the pastor. It's not between me and that person that I feel violated from. It's between you and me, God, and I'm going to put you first, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to get my schedule right. I'm going to put my talents where they belong in the kingdom, and I'm going to trust you with my treasure. Singers, come. I'm going to try to close with these two verses. If you're writing notes, write Malachi 3:10. I'm not going to read it now. I'm going to move on to the next one. And I've just got these two, and I'm going to close. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth what? I hope that if you don't know anything else that I've said today, know this, that if you're not able to give cheerfully, work on that point of the message. Say, God, let this be cheerful. I said earlier, and I want to say again, I'm not trying to pry anything out of your hands, not your time, not your talent, not your treasure. I'm not trying to pry anything out of your hands. And God's not trying to pry anything out of your hands, but he's trying to get you to trust him with the time, with the talent, and with the treasure. And if you will take that step of faith today, I am absolutely convinced that God will honor your faith and he will show you how to move in a right direction where you can be freed up from holding on to something that interferes with the relationship that God has for you, and you can embrace what God has for you. Could you say amen?
Amen.
Stand with me. One more scripture. Bring it up, Matt. I forgot what it was. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Give the Lord a praise.